Pray for us. Father, we thank you that you are our source of life. You are our source of power. Holy Spirit, that you are the one that empowers us, that draws us to the Father, and that gives us power to live and to follow Jesus. And I pray, Father, this morning that my words would be few, that your words, which are good seed, will be what is received in our hearts this morning, that ministers to us this morning, and that bears fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm back on the disciplines of discipleship this week, in case you were wondering. We've looked at the reading of the word and the personal prayer life of a disciple. So this week I'm looking at the third one, which is the discipline of fellowship, which sounds a bit counterintuitive. But the fact is, especially if you're an introvert, the discipline of fellowship requires very much that discipline. You actually have to be intentional with it. So I'm trusting there are extroverts in our church. I'm trusting that even you will receive something to just open this up again for you afresh. And for the introverts, that you will be motivated and encouraged. There we go. I see that hand. And that's really what I'm trusting for. But even so, we must remember that all these spiritual disciplines we've been talking about are from a place of abiding in Christ. These are not our ways to work into abiding in Christ. It is from a place of abiding in Christ. This is not on the slides, but in John 15, I'm just reminding us again this morning, abide in me, Jesus saying, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, this is a core value in our church. In fact, the first sermon when this church was planted in the beginning of this year, I spent some time on Mark I was reading from Mark 3, where Jesus said, well, when we read this and it says, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. So whatever we're doing as far as discipleship is from that place of being. Okay? It's just to bring us back there again, because we can get a little bit distracted by the doing part. And in fact, I want to take us to this picture that we had from Intercession a while ago. That is our picture of abiding. Is we are abiding in the palm of his hand, and from that place we are bearing fruit. That is our approach here as believers. So with that context, I want to then move to this idea of the gospel fellowship that we share in. So I think before we start let's look at what is the word that's translated for us as fellowship is this Greek word koinonia. I'm not a Greek scholar, so the pronunciation, it's okay. But the idea is what is shared in common as the basis for the fellowship or participation. It is not meeting for the sake of meeting. Koinonia speaks of having something in common, like a partnership has something in common, and sharing in that benefit of the partnership. So koinonia is not just a meeting together. Commercial partnerships, people bring something into the partnership. They do something with it, and then they share the benefit of that partnership. And that is more the picture of fellowship. And the other way that it is translated is communion. Fellowship or communion. The word is almost used interchangeably in a sense. Where we share in what is common to the partnership. To have communion. In other words, communion is that spiritual fellowship. I want to take us with that definition in mind, that idea of the fellowship of believers, this partnership, this coming together around something common to us all, this communion we have as the fellowship. I want to take us to a scripture by the Apostle John. In 1 John, in the letter, he says, we read in 1 John 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So John is saying here, he proclaimed Jesus to them. He proclaimed Jesus to them as the one around whom they have fellowship. It is what they saw and heard in Jesus. It's not just that John didn't come and just share spiritual ideas with this group of people. He came and shared a person. He said, "This is, remember, we touched and we heard him. We saw him with our eyes. This is the person that he shared with them, and that person is the foundation of their fellowship." You see, we have those similar proclamations about Jesus recorded in the Gospels. The Gospels are also that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. In the Gospels, we have recorded this walk of Jesus, the life of Jesus on earth, proclaimed to us. And one of the things we see in the Gospels, in all four of them, you see this theme. Jesus comes and he calls a rather diverse group. They are not all fishermen. There is a tax collector. There is a zealot. He brings these group of people. Some of them are men, some of them are women that follow him. And they would ordinarily not have anything to do with one another. Especially the zealot and the tax collector, right? So the fisherman and the tax collector, even less, I would say. Because the tax collector would abuse his office to gather for himself. So Jesus comes and he calls these group of people, diverse group, together, and they have fellowship with him as the center of that group. And that's what we see in the Gospels. As they follow Jesus, they are in fellowship with one another. As they follow him, they are in fellowship with one another. Without him, they would not ordinarily be with one another. So that is this picture of communion. You see, what Jesus did and who Jesus is makes it possible for us to have fellowship with him, with the Father, and from that place have fellowship with one another. That's the restoration he brought. He first brought restoration between God and man. He is the God-man. So first they follow him, and then they follow, together they follow him as the God-man, the Son of God. And that's what he then restores us to primarily now. Still, we have relationship with the Father restored. And from that place of relationship with the Father restored, we have relationship with one another that looks different to where it looks in the world. It is that restoration of our fellowship with God by Jesus Christ that enables us to have that relationship with one another. A gospel-centered fellowship between us and with God is in fact the answer to Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. Listen to what I'm saying. Fellowship that is gospel-centered is the answer to the prayer in John 17. If we read the prayer, Jesus says here, John 17, this part of the prayer, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. That you loved them even as you loved me. I see I messed up my sizing. It's okay, you can just listen. We're going to lose the slides now anyway. I'll try to make it bigger. Looks like I didn't follow the right sequence. That the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And here he's talking about the fellowship between us believers as we are in Christ and Christ is in fellowship with God the Father. That fellowship will show to the world that God sent Jesus and that he loves us. And by implication, that he loves the world. Because how is the world going to understand that God loves them if we all are in relationship with him, do not look like he loves us? I mean, this is quite an important point. And this is the where fellowship comes in our fellowship with one another and God the Father around the good news of Jesus Christ, we become united. In that partnership where we are united in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, in that communion, it speaks to the world that Jesus has been sent. God loves them. God loves us and he loves them. Fellowship that leads to that fruitfulness. Because God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save it. That whoever believes in him will receive eternal life. But fellowship is not just about a Sunday service. It is also not just limited to our Wednesday small group meetings. You know, the world is not here to observe our Sunday morning meeting here this morning, to see what our fellowship looks like, to see whether Jesus has been sent, and whether God loves them. This is great. I love meeting together on a Sunday morning. It is a highlight of my week. But we cannot limit fellowship to what takes place here. And we can also not limit fellowship to what takes place on a Wednesday evening. You know, I'm aware that in Hebrews 10 we read this about the command not to neglect the corporate coming together. So I'm not encouraging us to do that. I'm asking us to open our box a little and open our lives a little to fellowship being bigger than a Wednesday or a Sunday. So we can read this scripture in Hebrews 10. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yes, that meeting together that's translated here, meet together, is speaking about the assembling together for worship purpose, like this morning. Okay? And that is great. But our communion with God is a daily experience, not a weekly one. And when we limit ourselves to fellowship only on a Sunday or even a Wednesday, we miss a big part of what the gospel-centered fellowship can mean, not just for our lives, but for the life of the community around us. Because if we are not walking in communion, in koinonia, if we're not walking in that fellowship, then the world is not actually going to see that God sent Jesus and that he loves them. That's the message in that scripture. So let's look at some of the scriptures that give us an idea of what should be happening when we fellowship around the gospel. Because you see, we can fellowship, even as Christians, we can fellowship around a lot of things, a lot of activities. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we should be fellowshipping about. Because it's good news today, as much as it was good news yesterday, and as much as it is good news tomorrow, that is what we need to be encouraging one another with. The good news that God sent his Son to live in our place, that we can be credited with that by faith because of what he did on the cross, and that by his resurrection, we can live a better life, a different life than otherwise. Lost my place. Ah, this is what we're looking at. 1 Corinthians 14:26 speaks of this. He says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." Let me read that again. "What then, brothers, when you come together." See, this speaks of whenever we come together, we can bring something to share with one another. That's what a partnership does. The spiritual partnership that we are in, every one of us brings something when we meet, whenever we meet together. You carry something about the gospel that someone else needs, that you meet up with. That's why we can't limit it to a Sunday morning. I love this verse in Romans 1, verse 11 to 12, where Paul first writes in Romans, he says, your faith has gone out, everyone's heard about it. And then he says, I want to come and preach the gospel to you. In other words, even if you believe, you still need to hear the gospel. And then he goes to this part, he says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." And we so often limit, we stop at that verse and we think, okay, so Craig must come and bring something to strengthen me on Sunday morning. And we stop there. Or someone else, that guy is the anointed one. He brings the answers. But Paul, who I would say was a pretty legit theologian, continues and he says, that is, so that we don't have that understanding, he says, that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. You see, that is the picture of partnership, spiritual partnership, where we all have something to contribute and we all need one another to bring that something. And that will result in building one another up every day of the week. You see, Jesus is living in me as I am in him. Not just for my sake, he's living in me for your sake. And so much is Jesus living in you for my sake. So that when we meet and we focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me is bringing something out for both of us. That's the communion that we are part of, the fellowship that we are part of. You know, just this week, Wednesday night at small group, I had a little bit of a struggle to express myself correctly. Yes, it happens to me as well. So I have a dear friend, Andre de Kock, wave your hand. Phoned me on Thursday and he said he came across this answer to what we were trying to say on Wednesday night. And he sent it to me and I was just so blessed. Firstly by his love and his caring, and he went to find something and then to share it. And that is the picture for me of the fellowship we're in. It doesn't have to be a formal meeting. It was a phone call and a WhatsApp. But we had an interaction, and the result was I was encouraged. He was also encouraged by our mutual faith. That's what we have the privilege of being part of during the week. Those are some of the most precious times for me, is if I meet up with someone, I have a coffee with him or whatever, and look, I am actually an introvert. Okay, so if we have to talk about the rugby and the cricket, I get very tired very quickly. Okay, and my small talk is very limited. But if you're going to start talking about the gospel, I'm going to get very animated. Because for me, that is life. And in those moments, those chance encounters, those fellowships daily where we meet up with one another, where we have a phone call or even just a cup of coffee or walk into someone at the shop, and we share that revelation, that experience or that testimony with one another, what is happening? We're having communion about Jesus Christ. And what is happening is the world is seeing it. The world's seeing it and going, Jesus did something and it changed something for them. I think God may love us. That's what happens there. So we need to, it's a small step from where we are sitting talking about the rugby and the referee. It's a very small step, right? We can start there, it's okay. But from there to fellowship about Jesus Christ is actually just a one-step program. It's very quick. It's not hard. And this is the thing. We can do it. We can put on a song. We can worship together around Jesus Christ. And suddenly, we are in fellowship. We are in communion. Wherever we are. Doesn't have to be at the church on a Sunday morning. Limited to that. In fact, we have this very command in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 13 to 14. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So what is this exhorting? It's obviously every day that's called today we are supposed to be doing this. This exhortation here refers to coming alongside and encouraging one another. If we come alongside one another and encourage one another, we are having fellowship. We are exhorting one another. In that place, we will not become hardened by sin. But we need that daily. You see, don't know if this is news to you, but you are sinning daily. So you need encouragement daily. Huh? I heard an amen there at the back. Encourage one another daily. The fellowship with one another plays an important role in daily countering that hardening work of sin. John writes in 1 John, he says, just after the earlier scripture I referred to, he then says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I'm not saying this is a comfortable place always, but this is the place where we are vulnerable with a brother about sin in our life. And you know why? Because Jesus paid for my sin, he paid for your sin. So I can come and say, this is a thing that I'm struggling with. And you can encourage me and say, you know what? On the cross of Christ, that is covered. I will encourage you. That is the place of fellowship. Because the power of sin is in its secrecy. In Proverbs we read, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. When we fellowship with one another and bring things into the light in view of the good news of receiving his justification. You see, we do not have confession just for the sake of confession. We confess our sin to one another because of his justification. It's to remind one another. On the cross, we are accredited with his 33 years of life. That is good news for you in your struggle against sin. And that will result in your freedom from sin. You see, fellowshipping involves lifting one another up and standing together in times that would otherwise prevail over one that is alone. We read about that in the book of Ecclesiastes. We read Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The threefold cord is speaking of fellowship, where Jesus is that third cord that keeps us together. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. That is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. You see, if our fellowship with one another is focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it ties us together in that unity, that the way a threefold cord is tied. It is three cords, but they become one rope. And that rope prophesies to the world around us. God sent his son and he loves you. When we come along one another and we do these things that we read of, we stand together, lift one another up, we encourage one another. Because when you walk together in that vulnerable place, that place where you are able to share your struggles, then that struggle is no longer going to prevail against you because you now have a brother or sister that is walking with you on that road. And you are united by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that one will no longer prevail over you because you are two together. The daily fellowship of the saints is a critical element in the growth of the early church. In the book of Acts, I'm going to read this for you and listen to where the word appears. In Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, it says, this is now after the 3,000 responded to Peter's sermon, after the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. We know these scriptures very well. And all who believed were together and had all these things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Fellowship plays such a critical part in that picture. And then we get this. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, that is why we are talking about these spiritual disciplines, because you will have heard the other ones I've covered already also listed there. The reading of the word, the praying that's focused on Jesus Christ, and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, communion. These are part of the things that bring us together in a way that makes the message go out. God sent his son, he loves the world, he came to save it. That is the message we want to go out in our community. So yes, I know this is challenging, but you'll have heard I didn't say you need to now give up all these things to get into fellowship with one another. I want to encourage us this week, as as there are people on holiday and all of these things, as we have these encounters with one another, as we have meetings, as we have social gatherings, let us shift the focus to the gospel of Jesus Christ in some form. Let us have that fellowship around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the outflow will be encouragement for one another, confidence to confess our sin to one another, a testimony to the world that God loves it and that Jesus has been sent to save it. And the Lord will be adding to the church those who are being saved. I trust that you will have a different picture of fellowship, maybe as let it be a bit wider than maybe your idea was of just fellowship on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday evening, that it would encourage you and motivate you to be part of that fellowship with one another, this communion that we share, this partnership that we share in the gospel. You know, it may be that this does not make much sense to you. How can you be in communion with people you don't really know? How can you fellowship with them? Jesus Christ is the central person to our fellowship. I do not have to know your whole story. If we fellowship around Jesus Christ, there is more than enough to talk about. And also, our fellowship with one another is grounded first and foremost with the restoration of our fellowship with God the Father. It is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that relationship has been restored by what Jesus achieved in his 33 years of life and his death and resurrection, that we have relationship again with the Father. We are in communion daily with the Father, and from that place we can have fellowship with one another. So if that is not your reality, I want to invite you, do not think you have to be good enough to have fellowship with God the Father. You cannot be good enough. Paul, in Philippians, he talks about the fact that he was as good as they get, as far as righteousness by keeping the law is concerned. And he says, I count it all garbage that I may receive the righteousness by faith in what Christ has done. Righteousness being the right standing with God the Father. That is the invitation. That is why today it is good news, and why today we still need to encourage one another and say, listen, remember, your fellowship with God the Father is not because of your oulikheid gister. It is still because of what Jesus did on the cross. And therefore, it still does not depend on your nie oulikheid gister. That's the fellowship that has been restored to us. And from that place, we have fellowship with one another. So if you'll stand with me. I want to bring us into that idea, just to bring our focus again to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what we have fellowship around. As we share communion, if you will open the communion. Father, we thank you that we can come boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done, that in him who made a new and living way through the veil for us to have a relationship restored with you, that we can come and remind ourselves this morning as we take this bread, Father, and we remember that our fellowship with you was restored because a body was broken, a body that is not ours. And we partake in this bread as a symbol of partaking in his body. And Father, we thank you that our relationship with you has been restored because of blood that flowed that was not ours. For sins committed by us. That your blood, Lord Jesus, still speaks a better word. It speaks a word of the restoration of relationship with God the Father. It speaks a word of the restoration of relationship with one another. Where zealots and tax collectors can come around a table because you are at the table, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your blood that still speaks that word for us today. Let's drink together. Let us remain in communion with God the Father in this week. Let our fellowship with one another be from that place. That place of knowing Him as our Father and following and contemplating Lord Jesus as our older brother who was willing to share the inheritance with us. Amen.
We're gonna close the service now, and we're gonna serve some coffee afterwards that I think should still be hot. But I just want to give out an invitation. If you feel this morning that you don't really get what fellowship is about, if you feel that you struggle to fellowship with people who are different from you or who look different from you or come from a different background, if you have experienced hurt in the area of Christian fellowship and of friendships, if you've experienced rejection that has caused you to close off and not want to open your heart or be vulnerable, then I want to invite you to come for prayer this morning. We would love to pray with you, just that God would really touch that place and heal it, that God would show you His design for fellowship and for friendship among believers. So let me just close for us. Father, we worship you in this morning. We thank you for your design, Lord, for fellowship and friendship among believers. We thank you, Lord, that it is your heart for us, Lord. It is one of the ways in which you manifest yourself and your glory, Lord. It is also one of the areas that is most attacked by the enemy, Father. So we just want to bring in this week our relationships before you, our brothers and our sisters that we fellowship with. And we ask you, Father, just for your light to shine in this area, Lord. Show us again your heart. Show us again the way that you see our brother and sister so that we can love them, so that we can fellowship together, so that we can make our hearts vulnerable, Lord, and that we can just be in communion with you and our brothers and sisters, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're all welcome to go have some coffee or to come to the front for ministry.